Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, funniest, and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. We coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole. I mean, not here, but your ear hole, by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We here to get it in. I'm flying solo. Shout out to my homie Sam, Dr. Javard. Hey, man, shout out to Pat, PC, Enigma, Shelby, Candace, and Cliff. Everybody part of the Freedom Train family. Shout out to everybody. It's really going down. I'm going to skip most of my housekeeping and go ahead and jump right into it. But I do want to say, if you want to see the full video of the Fix Sports Podcast, make sure you become a patron at patreon.com/fix. You become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and all of your donations will go to improving this network, improving this show, and being able to give back more to the communities that we serve. And make sure you check out our Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can learn more about all the podcasts I just learned and tune into their podcast. And remember, this Fix Sports Podcast is also available as far as podcast listening on Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. And if you're watching on YouTube, remember to subscribe to this channel, like this video, comment and share. Really going down. So what we talking about today, Willie? So HBCU Spotlight. I got two parts of my HBCU Spotlight, and I got two parts of my weekly rant. So the first part of my HBCU Spotlight is North Carolina A&T. Their track team just broke a record for the fastest 440 in the world. Oh Lord, what that mean? And so second part of my HBCU Spotlight is Florida A&M FAMU. They won the 2021 MEAC Golf Championship by 19 strokes out there. Stroking. They be stroking. So as far as into my topics, I'm going to talk about former Florida State linebacker Geno Hayes, who is under hospice care right now. Kevin Durant hit big with Bitcoin, made some millions. So we're going to talk about that. And I'll tell you why I'm happy to talk about that. 21-year-old track star Shakari, what's her last name? Griffin. Shakari Richardson, excuse me. 21-year-old track star Shakari Richardson makes history as becoming the sixth fastest woman in the world. Brett Favre said he wants politics out of sports, even though he's still talking politics. The weekly rant is aimed at the Aaron Donald situation. The first part of the weekly rant is aimed at the Aaron Donald situation, where he was being accused of assault. But now they're like, oh, no, it wasn't Aaron Donald. So we're going to talk about that. And the second part is Alden Smith has been booked on battery charges in Louisiana. And he's now part of the Seattle Seahawks. He left the Cowboys, and he's a Seahawk now. So we're going to get into that second part of our weekly rant. And we got to start this thing off right with the HBCU Spotlight. We got to start this thing off right. Hey, we got to start this thing off right. HBCU Spotlight. Hey, dun, 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 dun. And get into it. I had to make my own music. You know, that was my HBCU Spotlight music, but you know, we got to move forward, so we had to make some changes. So after ranking the best in the nation, the North Carolina A&T's men's track and field team has made history again by breaking the record for the fastest 4x400 in the world. A four-member team won the outdoor race at the annual Cyco Littlefield Texas Relays at the University of Texas at 3 minutes and 23 seconds, according to News and Record. Dwayne Ross, A&T's director of track and field programs, commented about the win and the future of the Aggies. I am happy that our 4x4 team, Ralph said, according to North Carolina A&T's website. This is what we are supposed to do. We feel that we are the best in the world at it. So this time and even faster times in the future are expected. Breaking stereotypes described by the HBCU sophomore Randolph Ross Jr., junior Daniel Stokes, and senior Trevor Stewart and Elijah Young had weeks before their school proud at the NCAA Division I men's and women's indoor track and field championships. Per Blavity, the Aggies became the first HBCU to win an NCAA indoor title in the 4x400 since Morgan State won back to back in 1965 and 66. And we talked about A&T winning that weeks back. People are always going to discredit us no matter what we do, Stewart told HBCU Game Day. It boils down to we're in HBCU. We're not supposed to be doing this. So it almost forces us to do it bigger and better. But we're fine with that. It makes us better people, and it prepares us for life after college. Bigger and better is what the world is going to expect from us, too. The world has now been served with a history-making win from the University of Texas outdoor races, and the official Twitter account for the school's athletic department celebrated the victory. The national champs are at again. That's what they say. The national champs are at again, and this time they're doing it on the outdoor scene. North Carolina A&T Athletic wrote in a tweet, the foursome just ran the fastest 4x400 time in the world at 3 minutes and 23 seconds at the Texas Longhorns Texas Relays. The Aggies 4x400 relay team ran almost a full second ahead of the second place team, LSU, who came in second with 3 minutes, 1 second. The women's team also performed extremely well with sophomore sprinter Cambria Sturgis winning first place in the women's 200 meters at the Texas Relays. According to the United States Track and Field Cross Country Coaches Association rating index, the North Carolina A&T athletic team was ranked number 2 in the nation after claiming the national title at the NCAA championships. The team moved majestically to the number 1 spot. Majestically to that number 1 spot! Scheme, block. A&T in the number 1 spot. Majestically. Who's majestically? The A&T track team is majestic. Who's majestic? A&T is majestic. Shout out to A&T, man. That 4x400 team, man. All majestically winning out there, doing their thing. Shout out to Randolph Ross Jr., Daniel Stokes, Trevor Stewart, Elijah Young. Ooh, the boys out there doing their thing. That's what I'm talking about. And Cambria Sturgis and the rest of everybody on the men's and women's A&T track team. Y'all keep it up. Shout out to the A&T men's for winning that 4x400 meter and becoming best in the wizard. So that's the first part of my HBCU spotlight. So the second part, bringing it on home. Because Florida A&M golf team won the 2021 MEAC Men's Golf Championships by 19 strokes. Stroke it out. Hey, they be stroking to the east, and they be stroking to the west, and they stroked them 19 strokes, and they made them the best. Hey. So the Florida A&M Men's Golf Program claimed its first ever Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Golf Championship and trip to the NCAA tournament, winning by a remarkable 19 strokes, son. At the Bryan Park Golf Club in Greensboro, North Carolina on Tuesday afternoon. Stroke that thing. Stroke that thing. The Rattlers cruised to the title, holding the lead after each of the 3 rounds, firing a 35 over par 755. The next closest competitor was North Carolina A&T. Got to be A&T. It had to be A&T, right? Who shot 54 over 774 par. Howard University plus 62 and North Carolina Central plus 94 rounded out the standings. In the final round, FAMU outpaced the field shooting a 300, which is a plus 13. We just made history for FAMU. I'm just excited for our guys. It's truly all about them, said head golf coach Mike Rice. They worked extremely hard for this moment over the past 3 to 4 years, and I can't be any prouder of what they've accomplished this season. Individually, the Rattlers had 5 golfers finish inside the top 5. Ethan Magnum, Big Dog, led the tournament from beginning to end, winning the individual championship by shooting a 3-round total, 4 over par, 184, 70, 39, 75. Magnum was also named the MEAC Championship's most outstanding performer. Mandira Lutschman and Prince Cunningham claimed the 3rd and 4th positions. Lutschman shot a 9 over par, 187, 75, 40, 74, while Cunningham carded an 11 over par, 191, 75, 35, 77. Lutschman and Cunningham were both named to the MEAC All-Tournament team. Moby Dillard rounded out the top 5, winning 5th place with a 13 over par, 193, 77, 41, 75. Cameron Riley secured a tie for 12th place with a 20 over par, 278, 40, 82. Rice took home the MEAC's Outstanding Coach Award after guiding the Rattlers to his first conference championship in school history. One time for Mr. Rice. We're extremely proud of student athletes for fighting through the adversity this year, FAMU Vice President and Director of Athletes Courtney Goshen. Their hard work and dedication is a direct reflection of standard excellence that delivered the program's first championship in school history. FAMU now awaits the NCAA selection show, where the Rattlers will find out where they will begin their quest for an NCAA crown. Program will air May 5th on the Golf Channel, so it already aired. The time has yet to be announced. So I got to find the results of that, but I did want to let you know that FAMU won that MEAC. That's what's up. One time for Coach Rice, leading them gentlemen down there to go ahead and get their wins. Mr. Magnum, the big dog, Mr. Ethan Magnum, right? Shout out to him. Shout out to Mandira Lutschman. Mahendra Lutschman, Prince Cunningham, Moby Dillard, Cameron Riley. Shout out to everybody on that FAMU team, FAMU golf team, what they're doing their thing. HBCU Sports. I'm telling you, man, ain't nothing like HBCU Sports. They get down, they get it in, and they have fun. You heard me? So shout out to North Carolina A&T track team for being the best in the nation. Shout out to FAMU's men's golf team for being the best in the MEAC. And that there, my friends, is my HBCU spot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can book me for your shows. I perform because you can hear them vocals. All right, man. So let's go ahead and get into these topics. You heard me? So former Florida State linebacker Mr. Geno Hayes is unfortunately under hospice care. So Geno Hayes, who played 3 seasons at Florida State and 7 in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chicago Bears, and Jacksonville Jaguars, is under hospice care at his parents' home for liver complications. And, well, hold on. His former high school coach said he's 33. Geno in need of prayers. He's fighting for his life. Hayes' former high school coach, Frankie Carroll, who visited Hayes at his mother's home in Valdosta, Georgia last Sunday. It's tough. Geno's a fun-loving guy. Hayes, known for his instincts, athleticism, and quickness, always seemed to find the football, and he did. And he'd get people to the ground when he got there, former Florida State defensive coordinator Mickey Andrews said. He had a motor, a knack for locating the ball. Hayes signed with Florida State in 2005 out of Madison County, Florida, where he started as an undersized defensive lineman before he moved to linebacker and became an All-American. Hayes finished his junior season at Florida State second on the team in total tackles with 94 and was first in tackles for loss with 17.5. Bypassing his senior season and declaring for the NFL draft, Hayes was a 6th round selection of the Bucs in 2008. He moved into the starter's role at weak side linebacker in his second season with the Bucs, finishing with a career-best 98 tackle. Hayes played in 101 career NFL games with 70 starts spread between the Bucs in 2000 from 2008 to 2011, the Bears in 2012, and the Jags from 2013 to 2014. He had 401 career tackles and 10 sacks. Billy Ray Reddick, a former teammate at Madison County High School and one of Hayes' closest friends, has remained in contact with Hayes and other high school teammates through a group text chat. Hayes' health, however, has deteriorated in recent weeks. "It's a hard pill to swallow," said Reddick, who lives in Houston. So definitely sending prayers and healing energy and everything we need to send to Geno Hayes. Never heard anything bad about the young man. Heard he was a good person. So definitely wish him well. I hope he gets better soon. Praying for him, definitely. Praying for Geno Hayes that he recovers fully, that he regains his full health. He regains the full usage and the full health of his liver, that he recovers full, that he can get back out and be able to provide for himself and his family and live a full, beautiful, healthy, fulfilling life. And just praying for him and wish him well. And I want him to get better, and we pray for him to get better. So, Geno Hayes, this show is going to be dedicated to you, my brother. I don't personally know you, but that's another black man. Definitely praying for you and wish you well. If there's anything we can do here to fix, you let us know, and we'll do our best to get it done from one brother to another. Definitely praying for you. So that's the news about Geno Hayes, and you know, let's make sure we send as much love, light, and prayers up for the young man. All right, let's talk a little money. Let's talk some money, because some people money be funny, but my money ain't funny because I'm on it. So the headline is Kevin Durant and Nas earn huge payouts as early Coinbase investors. So apparently, Nas and Kevin Durant invested in Coinbase as a startup, and I'm guessing, I'm not sure if they invested. Let me read. Two-time NBA champion Kevin Durant just joined rapper Nas in earning huge payouts from the early investments in the cryptocurrency trading platform Coinbase. After Coinbase went public on Wednesday, its shares closed at $328 on the opening day, leading to a company valuation of over $85 billion. Newsweek reports. Amid increasing popularity in the cryptocurrency markets, shares went as high as 430, giving the company a short-lived valuation of over $100 billion. With Durant and the Grammy Award-winning rapper making early investments at Coinbase, their reported return on investments is estimated to be multi-millions. The Brooklyn Nets player invested in the company back in 2017 when it was valued at $1.6 billion. So not at the beginning, but early in the company's life, he invested. But now with its increased valuation, Durant's investment is said to be worth 53 times what it was 4 years ago, MarketWatch reports. And I think I read that he made $30 million. So though he's kept his total investment in Coinbase private, the pro athlete's investments from 35 ventures typically invest anywhere between $250,000 to $1 million into a company. If he made an investment along the lower end of his spectrum, the two-time NBA Finals MVP would have a current return on investment of $15.3 million. In addition to Coinbase, Durant holds investments in companies like Postmates, Acorns, and Box, an alternative asset management company. Meanwhile, let's talk about Nas. But shout out to Kevin Durant. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about that is because I know in the past I've covered stories and article and information about athletes going broke. And I love stories about athletes being able to double and triple and flip their money and grow their wealth and grow their assets. And this is something that Kevin Durant has done. So to show you the power of investing, I myself personally know the power of investing because I can see how my assets grow with investment. So we want to encourage not just athletes, but all people to be smart with your money and invest your money wisely in the right places. Do your homework, do your studying, invest your money and then sit back and watch it grow and watch your money make money. And that's what Kevin Durant did. So, like I said, I read something when the story first broke about Durant and Nas. I read where Kevin Durant made $30 million. So I don't know if that's the exact total, but I know that is what I read, that he made $30 million off of his investment in Coinbase. I mean, it's all cool. It's real cool. Excuse me, because you know, remember when I talked about Russell Okung, and Russell Okung, half of his salary went in was Bitcoin. And I think it was estimated that it doubled, and it went from 14 to what, 28? So 28 million, that's half of his salary. So the power of investing, compound interest, man, like stuff growing and growing and growing. Like that's what we need to be into in our community. And I know it's popular to talk about it, but remember, Dr. Claude Anderson has been talking about it since forever. For the last 40 years, Dr. Claude Anderson been talking about it. So with that being said, make sure y'all check out his books, Black Labor, White Wealth, and Powernomics, to learn how to better circulate that black dollar, right? But I'm glad and I'm happy for Kevin Durant. And I hope that's a lesson for others to make, to not just invest, but to make smart investments, but to take care of your chicken, like Marshawn Lynch said, take care of your chicken, pocket muscle, make it grow. The only way you make the muscle grow is to keep exercising and keep doing what you need to do with it. See that muscle? Ooh, see that muscle? So make that pocket muscle grow and take care of your money. Shout out to Kevin Durant for making a smart investment, right? Do your homework. Do your homework before you put your money in things or you're going to lose it all. So shout out to Mr. Durant for doing his thing a majig and making sure that he ensures his future even more, even though that basketball money take care of him. But hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with growing your wealth and making sure more generations of your family is taken care of. You heard me? So shout out to Mr. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant got money on top of money. On top of money. I said, Kevin Durant, he got that money. On top of money. He invested in Coinbase. And then his money flipped. I ain't talking about riches. I'm talking about that wealthy-ish. Ooh, I said Kevin Durant flipped his money. And they got more money than me. Kevin Durant flipped his money. And that money ain't tripping. You see, my brother. Thank you, Brother Ward. I am Brother Shabazz. And I'm here to enlighten your minds a little more about the power that we as black people in America have, if we just use our minds and also use our collective powers. See, the brother Kevin Durant used his money to make more money. Now, you see, that is smart, because when you can use your money to make more money, then you would know that your money ain't funny. I am not a comedian, so therefore my money should not be funny, okay? Because once you understand who you truly are, therefore you can grow through your being and sprout and fly as the caterpillar did when it metamorphosized into the butterfly. You see, my wings can only flap when my foundation is solid. Okay, I'm gonna say that one more time, because I don't think y'all heard me. I said my wings can only flap when my foundation is solid. Because Look at the nature of the caterpillar. It crawls. It eats plants in order to sustain itself. Sustenance. And once the caterpillar has sustained itself properly, it can now cocoon itself. Now, what is the cocoon? The cocoon is a metaphor for your place, your inner soul, your inner substance, your inner being, your inner self. You going within yourself to find yourself to only come out as a better version of yourself. I couldn't have said that any better. Thank you, Brother Joseph, for allowing me to come speak this word on your podcast. Hallelujah. And shout out to the brother Kevin Durant. Okay. Thank you, Brother Shabazz, I think. I don't know what he was talking about. Is that a booger? Nope, nose hair. I don't know what he was talking about. I need to clip my nose hairs, but I don't know what Brother Shabazz was talking about. All right, so let's keep things moving. 21-year-old athlete Sha'Carri Richardson just made history by becoming the sixth fastest woman in the world. Richardson has been making a name for herself on the track, getting her start as a sprinter at Louisiana State University in 2019. She earned two junior world records, breaking the college record for the 100-meter dash as a freshman, coming in at 10.99. Then the same day, she broke the 200-meter dash record of 22.37 seconds. She will go on to win big at the NCAA Track and Field Championships, breaking Don Sowell's 30-year record, coming in at 10.75. Despite her victorious year, she fell short 8 weeks later, placing eighth at the USATF Outdoor Championships and missing the chance to represent the U.S. at the World Championships. I remember that. This is going to be my Sha'Carri voice. As an athlete, you have to take your losses just as good as you take your wins. If you can't do that, you're not a good athlete, in my opinion. And so that's what she told reporters at the time. Soon after, Richardson decided to transition from a college athlete to training professionally, landing a Nike running deal. Shout out, shouty, shout out. Training here with Coach Dennis Mitchell has been one of the best decisions I've made in my life. I love that he's a coach that's going to make sure you're the athlete you tell him you want to be on and off the track. I'm glad I came. It's a great environment for training. I knew that to get to the next level, I had to make myself uncomfortable, meaning push myself to a limit I hadn't pushed myself to before, Richardson said. This past weekend, that's precisely what she did. Richardson competed at the Miramar Invitational in Florida. They put Florida Day. In Florida, clocking in at 10.72 seconds during the 100-meter dash and making history as the sixth fastest woman in the world. In the world, Craig, the world. The only woman in history faster than Richardson have been Florence Griffith Joyner, Carmelita Jeter, Marion Jones, Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, and Elaine Thompson-Herah. Richardson told reporters this is only the beginning. Now, if she's up there with them already, look out, track world, look out. I'm not done yet. There's more work to be done. There are ways to get faster. There are ways to become better. So we're going back to the drawing board, she told the USA Track and Field. USA Track and Field took Twitter to share footage from Richardson's victory, calling the moment jaw-dropping. Richardson said her goal is to represent the USA at Tokyo Summer Olympics, with NBA sports analyst Otto Bolden confirming that Richardson is a heavy favorite for the Tokyo title. Before she can make the team, she must finish in the top three at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon this summer. She gonna do it. I am who y'all think I am, and I am who I say I am. I'm gonna say that again. I am who y'all think I am, and I am who I say I am. My season is going to be unbelievable. Something that I haven't been expecting. Something the world hasn't been expecting. It's time. That's what Sha'Carri Richardson said. And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb. And that's what the author of the article said. And that's on Mary Had. I have no idea what the origins of the "And That's on Mary Had a Little Lamb" thing. I have no idea where that come from or why it comes from and all that stuff. Whatever. But that's what the dude said. And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb. I'm mad at myself for reading it. I am. I'm angry with myself right now because I read "And That's on Mary Had a Little Lamb." I need to take a moment because I shouldn't have read that. But hey, so Sha'Carri Richardson is looking to be the favorite at Tokyo. I mean, hey, you heard the names that she's with. Flo-Jo. Let me see. Flo-Jo. Carmelita Jetta. There you go. Flo-Jo, Carmelita Jetta, Marion Jones, Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, and Elaine Thompson-Hara. Like, all live. All icons. All, like, legends, right? All legends. All the women. If she up there with them already, and she, like, 19, 20, 21, live. Live. Because she still got time to grow and get better. So I'm looking to see what type of performances she put up this summer. That way she can go ahead and get to Tokyo. We want to see Sha'Carri Richardson up in Tokyo doing her thing, representing, winning. Because she's telling y'all, hey, I'm the best. I'm the best. And if you don't believe I'm the best, you finna get this work. I ain't mad at Sha'Carri. I am not mad at you, Sha'Carri Richardson. Hey, man. Go out there and do your thing. Go do your thing, Ma. Go do your thing. You know your homeboy right here, Fitz, going to be cheering for you and rooting for you. Go on out there and do your thing. You hear me? You heard me. All right. So let's keep this thing moving. This show not going to be long today. It ain't going to be long today, but we got to get it in. So, y'all homeboy, y'all favorite quarterback, Brett Favre, says he wants politics out of sports, even though he continued to talk politics. So, count Brett Favre among those who don't like his sports with a side of politics, or more accurately, a side of politics that doesn't mesh with his side of politics. How dare black people want to be free in America? How dare you, black people? I didn't throw footballs and do Wrangler jean commercials for black people to be out here talking about they want to be free in America, said the Brett Favre. I know when I turn on the game, I want to watch game, Favre recently said in an appearance on the Daily Wire via USA Today. I want to watch players and play the teams, players play and teams win, Luke. Win, lose, come from behind. I want to watch all the important parts of the game, not what's going on outside the game. And I think the general fan feels the same way. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, I don't watch anymore. It's not about the game anymore. And I tend to agree. I watch football. I still watch the NFL. So at what point of the game are you talking about, Brett Favre, that politics is interrupting the game? Because I watch football and it doesn't bother. I don't see politics within the game. They talk about it. Now, it's the storyline surrounding the games, but politics is not talked during the games. They talk football. And if they do, it's a short mention, but they're mostly talking football. Because, you can watch the game on mute. Or you can just stop being a little bitch. But, you know. I think stop being a bitch is a lot harder than actually being a human being. So, but we're going to read on. It's a tired and lazy take, frankly, when turning on the game, how much of it is really about something other than the game. He specifically complained about the issues of kneeling during the national anthem that happens before the game even begins. It's in almost all cases, when you turn on the game, you don't even see it. I mean, I'm just saying. Brett Favre, like, I've never seen somebody kneel in the middle of a game. So basically what Brett Favre is saying is the kneeling doing the anthem at the beginning of the game ruins the whole game for him because that's how weak of a man he is. Brett Favre is so weak and undisciplined as a man and lacks so much self-control of his own self that the kneeling and the political protesting and the political stances that Black people are making in America because we are continuously being unjustly murdered by police, that is stopping Brett Favre from watching football. The kneeling at the beginning of the game because he is not disciplined and not man enough. So, hey, Favre alone with many others failed to realize that the forced show of patriotism before a sporting event constitutes an inherently political act and that some in attendance, including participants, may not share those feelings. It's not a problem for him, however, because he agrees with it. Some would say there's nothing more American than American citizens exercising their rights. And it's uniquely American for American athletes exercising their First Amendment prerogative to take unpopular positions in a public setting. I mean, hey, it's the same thing as a bunch of white people storming the Capitol. Actually, it's a hell of a lot better. A hell of a lot better than a bunch of white people storming the Capitol, which I'm sure Brett Favre didn't have a problem with because I'm sure he supported that shit. But if Favre, who made an endorsement in the 2020 presidential election despite his only relevance to the national discourse coming from sports, wants to separate sports and politics, let's go all the way. No national anthem at all before games. No flags flying in the stadium. No pregame flowers for other subtle or otherwise military recruiting messages like the salute to service program. Definitely no paid military tributes. No first pitches thrown by politicians. I mean, so what basically the writer of the article is saying, if you're saying people can't kneel before the game, then fuck it. Don't nobody get to do nothing before the game. They got anything to do with anything other than sports. But of course, you know, that's not going to count. That's not going to happen. They're not going to phase that out because basically what white people are saying is this shit don't affect us. We don't want to hear about it. It doesn't affect us and we don't want to hear about it at no point in life. And especially within our football, because it don't affect us. Now, even though it may affect 70% of the workforce of the NFL, but as white people, it don't affect us. My check's still coming in. I'm happy. I'm healthy. Why do I care what happened to you all in you all's neighborhoods? Because that's you all's problems with the police. That's not our problems. We don't go out here doing crime and stuff. That's what white people are saying to themselves, even though we know they're lying to themselves. But hey, I don't expect a snake to not be a snake, me personally. So let me read on. All of those things carry clear or at least subtle political message. To truly separate politics and sports means to eradicate each of them. Far from others who don't like certain protest displays or messages wouldn't want that. They're fine with political viewpoints and gestures that they agree with. And they don't care if there are some Americans who sees those things and based on their own unique experiences as Americans don't feel the same way. Favre's concern sweeps more broadly than politics have. Well, I ain't gonna read no more of this. I'm gonna just say this. Reiterate what I just said. Favre supports white supremacy and white supremacy views. Favre would go on to say, is a suspected white supremacist because he's clearly regurgitating white supremacy talking points. Now, it's funny that Favre said this because he goes on later on after the Derek Chauvin trial and to say that he doesn't feel that Derek Chauvin intended on killing George Floyd, which I disagree with because if he didn't intend on killing George Floyd, he wouldn't have had his knee on that man's neck that damn long. But isn't that in itself talking politics? You're an athlete, you're in the sports realm, and you're talking politics? How dare you do what you said that people shouldn't do, Brett? Now, I hope people didn't. Well, it's for all the Black folk who get it twisted with a lot of these white athletes. Like, they might be great at what they do. Like, Drew Brees is a great quarterback, one of the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time in the NFL. But Drew Brees regurgitates white supremacist talking points. I would go on to say that Drew Brees is a suspected white supremacist, as well as Brett Favre as a suspected white supremacist. We know they have rhetoric that supports white supremacist views. Like, we know that. So, I mean, stop being surprised that these white men think this way. I know a lot of people think that, hey, well, all these black people he's been around, all these black friends. Well, how do you know they're friends? How do you know they're friends? You know they're on the football teams together. Because come on, man. Those of you who've played sports, we know sports don't really bring people together. It can. But it depends on the people, the human elements that has to happen. Brett Favre don't have to care about black folk issues because they don't affect him. So he don't care. That's why he wants his sports to do nothing but talk about things that matter to him and affect him and his people. These athletes are showing you all who they are. Pay attention. Listen. Believe them. When Brett Favre shows you who he is, believe him. When he says what he says, believe him. When Drew Brees says what he says, believe them. When Mike Ditka say, when all these people say things they say and they do these certain things, believe them. Believe their actions. Believe their words. Don't go on where they just don't understand. They just grew up different. Nah, man, they understand. They've been around long enough. They understand. They've been around enough black people. They understand. As long as both those cats played in the NFL, they understand. As long as they've been around, they understand. What y'all need to understand, it's like Dr. John Henry Clark said, you looking for a friend, damn it, look in the mirror. We need to stop looking for allyship outside of ourselves and make sure we take care of ourselves. Because clearly, just because you're great at throwing footballs to black people, don't mean you really support black people. All right, so let's get into this weekly rant.
Weekly rant.
So the first part of this weekly rant is going out to the situation surrounding Aaron Donald. So a couple weeks ago, Aaron Donald was accused or alleged to have gotten to a fight because there was this black dude, picture circulating, a black dude who clearly got his ass whooped. He had an eye jammy, and they said his shit was broke up in his eye area. And they blamed Aaron Donald. And they're saying that, well, basically it was Aaron Donald was the most famous person there, so they blame Aaron Donald. So let me read a little more before I get back to my commentary. All right. So last week, a man named D. Vincent Sprigg. See, first of all, his parents fucked up by naming him D. Vincent. Either go name him Demarius or D. Derek or Devin or Devon or Demetrius or something. Or you just name him goddamn Vincent. But don't be goddamn naming nobody D. Vincent. That's the first mistake. That's the first mistake that led to this situation right here. His parents naming him D. Vincent. You're either going to name him something that starts with the D-E and the real name with the D-E, or you're going to name him Vincent. But don't you put them together. Did you ever put them together again? D. Vincent. Come on. Who names their son D. Vincent? Come on, man. What you trying to say, D. Vincenzo? Come on, man. D. Vincent. Yeah, all right, D. Nuts. All right, so never mind. All right, so D. Vincent Spriggs accused Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald of assault. But after video of the incident emerged, Spriggs apologized and said he was mistaken. Rams chief operating officer Kevin Dimoff says the case shows why no one should rest the judgment. I think when we're in an era of cell phones and videos, Demoff said, I think one of the things it's always good to let situations play out. That's true in a particular time like this when it appears to vindicate the player, and it's true, unfortunately, if it hadn't. I think it's cliche to say we'll let the legal process play out. This is one where it may have happened quickly. We'll see how it concludes. I think we'll just continue to let the story unfold the way it is. When the accusation was first levied against Donald, the Rams released a noncommittal statement saying the only thing we're saying that they were only collecting information. They were surely pleased that the additional information vindicated Aaron Donald. So basically, DeVincent got his ass whooped by somebody in the club and decided to blame Aaron Donald. And my thing, come on, bro, you know who. He talking about he was mistaken. Nigga, you lying. You lying. You... Come on, man. We done all been in fights, especially if you ain't get... I ain't see the video, but if Buddy didn't get snuck up on, if he ain't get snuffed, so if it was a straight up fade, you know who you fight. You know who you fight. And you knew it wasn't Aaron Donald. So you lied because you thought you was going to be able to get some money out of the situation and sue Aaron Donald because he was the most famous person in that situation because you had to win something because you just got your ass whooped. Somebody got forward and the name is DeVincent. Somebody got forward. Somebody got the whoop. And the name is DeVincent. Somebody got the whoop. And then he lied on Aaron Donald. Come on, DeVincent. See, I told y'all, his parents went wrong by naming him DeVincent. DeVincent means I sure will lie. That's what DeVincent means. DeVincent is Romanian for I sure will lie. See, the thing is, false accusations like this could derail or delay somebody's career and the aspirations and the goals that they have for themselves because you decided to lie on the person for monetary gain. What's up with that, DeVincent? What's up with that? So, hey, well, I'm going to say it's Aaron Donald because I'm out here trying to get these ducats. Come on, man. You look like a bitch. I don't believe that he was mistaken. I believe he straight up lied because he was trying to get his payday. And it didn't work out because why? Goddamn video. They got damn video out there. They got damn video. Don't lie. Hey, man, if you play football, especially outside sports and stuff, you know what they say? The eye and the sky. Don't lie. I said the eye in the sky, don't lie. So this eye spotted this guy and proved that he told a lie. Talking about Aaron Donald that night punched him in the eye. Lying ass boy. Come on, man. Do not be going out here, going around lying on people like that. Just because you was like, all right, I got my ass whooped, got the bones around my eye broken, and I think I can get me a payday. That's that bullshit. Flu gaze. Come on, D. Vincent. You got to be a better man than that. Pimp C said, don't be a bitch your whole life. Sometimes you got to stop being a bitch. You can't be a bitch your whole life. At some point in your life, you got to say, hey, I'm not going to be no bitch. Because this sounds like some bitch shit to me. Hey, I got my ass whooped, and I'm going to accuse the most well-known, most recognized, and richest person around here. Because we know Aaron Donald got money. Because he, like the best defensive player in the NFL. And we know he got money. You know the Rams going to take care of him. So I'm going to go ahead and get a couple hundred thousand, maybe some millions up out of them and go ahead and try to set my kids up for college. Blow it all on hookers and blow. Hookers and blow. Oh, oh. Hookers and blow. Oh, oh, yeah. Hookers and blow. Come on, DeVincent. First, let me tell you how you become a better person. First of all, change your name. Either change your name to like Demario, Derek, or something like that, or Vincent, change your name, and then change your perception of life and change your heart. Because the bitch assness is all in your heart. Change your heart after you change your name. And I guarantee you, you'll see a change in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the first part of our weekly rant aimed at the Vincent Spriggs and his lying ass. Nigga named Defense. Hey, I have a baby. And I think I want to name my baby Defense. Which means, you know I'm going to lie. In Romanian. Romanian defensive. Defensive means you know him a lot. I'm just saying. All right, so move this thing on. So we go ahead and round this show on out. Second part of this weekly rant is aimed at Alden Smith, because Alden Smith is actually in these streets wilding once again. So Seattle Seahawks defensive end Alden Smith, because he signed with Seattle Seahawks after leaving the Cowboys, turned himself in last Tuesday, after a warrant was issued for his arrest in connection with an alleged battery in the New Orleans area, according to the St. Bernard Parish Sheriff's Office. Smith turned himself in at St. Bernard Parish Prison shortly before 8 p.m. Eastern. He was booked and released Wednesday on $25,000 bond. Smith is scheduled to be arraigned on July 14th. An arrest warrant was issued for Smith on Monday for an alleged second-degree battery that occurred Saturday evening. St. Bernard Parish District Attorney Perry Nicosia told ESPN that Smith allegedly choked the victim unconscious during the confrontation that began inside a coffee shop at Charlemagne in Charlemagne, Louisiana. The great state of Louisiana, yeah? The alleged incident rises to a second-degree battery charge because the victim was rendered unconscious, according to Nicosia. He said the victim was taken to a hospital but did not have to stay overnight. In a news release, the St. Bernard Parish District Attorney's Office said that the alleged victim suffered severe injuries and that an offender convicted of second-degree battery faces a fine up to $2,000 and or up to 8 years in prison. According to a news release from the St. Bernard Parish Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to a call for medical assistance. When they arrived, they came into contact with a male victim who said he had been assaulted by an acquaintance of his. Detectives with the Criminal Investigations Bureau identified the suspect as Smith. 2 days before the alleged incident, the Seahawks signed Smith, who's 31 years old, to a one-year deal worth $1.2 million. With $137,500 guaranteed. He had reassured his career with the Dallas Cowboys in 2020 after missing more than four seasons because of an indefinite suspension by the NFL for multiple off-field incidents, violations of league substance abuse policy. In the statement Monday, the Seahawks said, "We are aware of the reports regarding Alden Smith. Alden notified us and we are gathering more information. We have no further comment at this time." So for Alden's sake, I'm hoping it was a self-defense matter. But he did turn himself in and post $25,000 on the bail. I'm hoping Alden didn't go out there and do some dumb shit. I'm hoping it was self-defense. I'm hoping there ain't no dumb shit. Because if so, then buddy, you must really don't want to play football. Because you just missed 4 years, buddy. Then you finally come back, went down to the Big D, to Big Dallas, reassured yourself, going on the sign with Seahawks, got your 1.2. And then a couple days later, you choke somebody out. Now, I'm hoping it was self-defense, because if it wasn't self-defense, then you tripping, B. Then you must really don't want to play football out here in these streets. Because if it's not self-defense, then what's a good reason for you choking folk out in the street? That's what I want to know. Because I want to see you win, B. I want to see my black men, my black brothers win. I want to see my brothers win. I want to see my brothers doing good out there, always doing good. But I don't want to see my black brothers putting roadblocks in their own way. You can't be in your own way. Cub, come on, Cub. Come on, cuz. Cuz. What you doing, B? What are you doing? You got the opportunity, man. You got the opportunity in your hand to set your family up for generations, and you blowing this by doing this crazy stuff off the field. If you wasn't in like no self-defense situation, if you just out here wilding, you tripping, bro. You really don't want to play football. You really ain't trying to set your family up because you're in a position to do what you need to do to help yourself and your family. Long money term. But nah, you just want to be a right now spark. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe the brother needs counseling. Maybe he needs some therapy. Maybe there's things going on in Alder Smith's life. Of course, I don't know what the man's like. But maybe there are things going on in his life that he needs actually professional help with that he hadn't got. And because he hadn't gotten the professional help, he out here doing these things and wilding like he wilding. Because, bruh, the last thing you need to be doing is continuously fucking yourself up. Continuously putting a goddamn roadblock in front of yourself so that you can't move forward. Because you out here wilding in these streets and having to be whoever it is that you are portraying to be. That's not a good look, B. That's not a good look. Cuz. Come on, cuz. I didn't want to put you in the rant. You put yourself in this rant, Alden. You put yourself in this rant. You got to do different. You got to do different. You got to do different. Yeah. Life comes down to making the right choices. And you make the right choices based off the decisions you have. So if you have a decision to not get into a physical confrontation versus getting into a physical confrontation in the position that you're in, take the high road. If you got to leave looking like you soft, leave looking like you soft, whatever. You know you ain't. Folk know you ain't soft. But don't put yourself in the position where you're messing up your money. You're messing up your family's future. You're messing up generations ahead of you, their future. Come on, man. Cats like me and other cats would love to be in your position. Stop doing that, bro. Don't do that to yourself no more, man. What the hell are you doing, bro? Maybe you don't have the right people in your corner. But whatever the hell Alden Smith got going on, it needs to be canceled ASAP and a new program needs to be installed because it ain't working. You missed 4 years, played for the Cowboys last year, then you come back and you got this situation. So how will this affect his future moving forward? We don't know because no, he was arrested, turned himself in, and had to post bail. Is he actually guilty? We don't know. Did he actually do something wrong? We don't know. But if it was outside of self-defense and it's outside the realms of him making sure he's ensuring his own safety, he's just out here wilding, we can't help you, bro. We can't help you because you tripping. You tripping on your own. You're doing it to yourself. You're doing it to yourself. All we want to do is see you win. That's all we want to do is see you win. That's it. But you out here wilding, you don't want to see you win. We want to see you win, but you don't want to see you win. You got to do better. You can't be doing bitch, like Pimp C said, you can't be a bitch your whole life. You can't be a bitch your whole life. At some point, you got to say, you know what? I ain't going to do this no more. I'm going to be a better person, and I'm going to move forward. So it's all on you, bro. You either going to get your life together, move forward, and make your money, and live out your life, or you ain't talking about nothing. Are you just going to throw it all away? Because you're already 31. And NFL, that's old. So you better get your life right. I say you better get your life right. And that's our episode, man. That's our show there, the Fix Sports Podcast, man. Remember, if you want to see the full video, become a patron at patreon.com/thefix. Check out our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can always get these episodes. Remember, this YouTube, we got the clips on YouTube. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, like, comment, share. Remember to check us out, Podcast Land on Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a plethora of other platforms that we out there on. Hey, man, I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the love. We're going to keep this thing rolling. And I got some surprises coming up for y'all, so stay tuned. Deuces, I am out.